Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and we got an interesting show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking with Dan Riesch. He's a holistic pharmacist. We're going to be talking about some of the things you can do this time of year and with over-the-counter medication, help you get better. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Debbie Menopropoulos. And she's going to be talking about, it's about her book, It's All Greek to Me. So, but before we do that, here's Reg with the health news.
Air pollution may be linked to higher risks of chronic kidney disease, new research suggests. A study from the University of Michigan found the prevalence of kidney disease was greater in areas of the United States that have worse air quality. The researchers say rates of chronic kidney disease vary widely across the U.S. and note patients' individual risk factors do not fully explain these differences. After taking individual risk factors into account, the researchers found an association between rates of chronic kidney disease and the level of a type of air pollution known as particulate matter in U.S. counties. However, they did not prove a cause and effect link. The study, which was presented at the American Society of Nephrology annual meeting in Philadelphia, showed the prevalence of kidney disease was higher even when pollution levels were much lower than what's generally considered unhealthy for older people and other high-risk groups. New research suggests a diet rich in chocolate, wine, fruits, and vegetables may help protect people from heart disease caused by air pollution. The research found elderly men were less likely to experience changes in heart function during heavy smog days if they ate foods loaded with flavonoids, an antioxidant found in plants. For their study, the researchers focused on 573 Boston area elderly men taking part in an aging study. They compared clinical measures taken of the men against air quality measures for the community and had the men fill out diet questionnaires. Researchers found over an 11-year period, the men tended to suffer from reduced heart rate variability when smog levels rose for 48 hours. The research was presented at the American Heart Association annual meeting in Chicago. The potential danger of energy drinks are well known, but a new study suggests even young children are at risk. Although the target market for energy drinks are typically teens and young adults, more than 40% of reports to U.S. poison control centers in a three-year period involve children under the age of six. The findings were presented at the American Heart Association annual meeting in Chicago. For the study, data from the American Association of Poison Control Centers' National Poison Data System was analyzed. They looked for information about calls concerning energy drink exposures to 55 different poison control centers in the system. The researchers examined data from October 2010 to September 2013. And finally, a kiss isn't just a kiss, it's also an opportunity to transfer millions of germs. That's the word from new Dutch research that suggests 10 seconds of lip lock can translate into 80 million germs moving from one person to the other, and two people who smooch a bunch of times each day will end up sharing similar germs. In one experiment, the researchers gave 21 couples a probiotic drink containing bacteria before they kissed. Swab samples afterwards showed the transfer of those 80 million germs. The researchers also found tongue germs were more similar among couples compared to people who didn't know each other. But in the big picture, mouth germs play only a small part. The body houses more than 100 trillion microorganisms, which help with tasks like fighting disease and digesting food. The study was published in the journal Microbiome.
Well, our first guest, Dan Riesch, is a natural pharmacist and has a pharmacy in Medicine Hat, Alberta. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here today.
Tell us a little bit about, what some of the trends are in terms of over-the-counter medication for colds and flus this time of year.
Oh, well, where do we start? Everybody wants to try anything that'll help get rid of it. So, always popular. Probably number one is echinacea. Been around for a long, long time. Lots of people like to try that just for their everyday to boost their immune system or maybe even a higher dose if they actually get a cold and flu. There's been a fair bit of studies over the last 20 years on echinacea. Probably the best form that works is echinacea purpurea, but you have to take fairly high doses of echinacea to actually show benefit, and standardization between the manufacturers is difficult, so it's a tough one to really for a consumer to discern if that's going to work for them or not.
What do you find works well from your research?
Well, funny you ask. I just gave a talk to a whole bunch of pharmacists in Edmonton and Calgary about that. So it's breaking down all the studies for them. So one product, a type of North American ginseng, branded as Cold FX here in Canada, actually does have a Health Canada indication to help ward off cold and flu. Not only the severity of the symptoms, but actually the length of how long you'll have it for. And even if you did get the flu shot, because the flu shot you can still get, and you can still get the flu, but it might be a minor form. So they even have an extra strength form that if you did get it, actually also has an indication that reduces the symptoms that you're going to have, the length. So it was actually a fair bit of studies over the last 10, 15 years on that, and did actually receive Health Canada approval for that indication. Another good one is zinc lozenges. Zinc lozenges really do actually work for reducing some of the rhinorrhea, they call it, medically, or runny nose, and some of the symptoms of the cold. But you have to use a fair amount of them, as we're talking about every 2 hours for while you're awake, to get to the dosage you need that's really going to be effective.
Let's talk a little bit about the ginseng. What kind of research, has backed up the ginseng and cold effects? What did you find when you were looking at that? Those studies?
They actually, it's quite interesting. One of the main studies that first occurred was actually in Edmonton in a more of an elderly population. But they've backed that up with numerous other age groups, middle-aged children, institutionalized seniors as well, because really the two biggest high-risk groups for cold and flu season are those children and the seniors. Those are the people that are most at risk for ending up in the hospital and potentially death. So they have actually shown great results with that. Mm.
What kind of difference has it made, do you remember, from the studies? Don't imagine you have them right in front of you, but...
I don't, because I'm driving, but... Unfortunately, you got me last minute, but if I'm not mistaken, there was one number thrown around, 43% decrease in the symptom severity, and on the average cold or flu, it being a virus, last 7 to 10 days, nice reduction in that, experiencing those symptoms, probably by about 2 or 3 days. So that, if you think about getting back to work or just being active, that makes a huge difference for everybody. And if you're experiencing some of those symptoms less, the burden to our healthcare system, what we're going to spend on regular cold medication, like your Benadryls, your Tylenols, and things like that, greatly decreases as well. And hopefully, if you're not having that virus in your body and you're not laid down, that also decreases the risk of you actually developing an infection and getting antibiotics too.
Dan, in terms of... the colds hitting children and seniors, is that because they're, tend to be indoors more? Is it an immune issue, or is it just because the kids are playing together and the seniors are sitting together?
You got two good points there. First of all, the indoor thing, obviously there are cold and flu season just happens to strike exactly during the seasons where we are indoor more. So back to your second point, and obviously we are right next to a person next to her. They're in school at that time. That's when it really starts to kick up, all the way through to the point in time till May when we can be outdoors again. Mm-hmm. So, for transmission-wise, of course, that is one of the biggest things. It's contact. It's proper hand washing. It's just regular good cold and flu hygiene. And so that's a huge part of it. I'm not an epidemiologist, but on the other side of the world, they follow the other side. They're rainy. So again, they're more for the usual. As soon as we move outdoors, it's not that we can't get the flu, it's just far less.
Dan, I was going to come back to the ginseng again, and I'm just going to ask you, what kind of ginseng was it that they were using? Was it American ginseng? Was it Siberian ginseng? Was it Panax ginseng?
Oh, good question. It's North American ginseng, and it's a specialized product of it. So it's, you're thinking, well, can I just go buy any type of North American ginseng? No, this with most studies, they're only effective if we actually take a specific product. and study it against a control or a placebo or something that we know that works, or maybe a medication. So we have to standardize that product. In this case, luckily they have a standardized product with a specialized format that that particular company uses to make sure the standardization happens in each and every bottle. So in that case, we can say that form of North American ginseng, which they call CVTE002, is their actual name of it, just branded as Cold FX, has been studied. There's lots of studies to back up other types of ginsengs, like Siberian, some other types. But again, standardization is a problem when we're looking at all these products, because one product, say with Echinacea, we might be using the roots of the plant in a study, and the next study we're using the aerial, the flowering, the leaves parts of the plant. So we don't always, we can't just make a broad generalization per product, for a group of say a flower or a herb. We have to look at specific manufactured products, just like we would. That's how we get credibility.
Dan, I was going to ask you, I guess it's more difficult to standardize the herbs, but what about the zinc? You know, you're talking about that and, for reducing sore throats and colds.
Yeah.
What milligrams were they using on that? And I guess that's easier to standardize, is it?
That it was effective. And it actually changed over the years as products changed. It's funny, a little story about the zinc and how they came up with that. A little girl about 3 years old that was a certain type of leukemia, and they just worked on the premise of that zinc might not only help her chemotherapy and help the memory fighting ability of her immune system fight the cancer, but also that zinc might work for the cold and flus that she was often getting because her immune system is run down. So of course this little 3 year old refused to swallow a big zinc tablet, so she sucked on it. And lo and behold, 2 or 3 hours later, routinely, after doing it, she had no cold or flu symptoms. Mm. So as the studies developed, the studies gradually, and that was a 50 milligram tablet, which is a lot and very nauseating for the average person to take. If you take zinc, you take zinc, it better be with food because it's not going to feel good. So these studies gradually, as they progressed, went to like 30 milligrams, then 23, and so far and so on. So now when we have zinc products over the counter, the lozenges, we actually are dealing with zinc tablets 5 to 10 milligrams, but we still need to really be effective, and all the studies show we need to get up to 75 milligrams a day. So that's 7.5 10 milligram tablets, or 15 of the 5 milligrams, depending on what product you're using.
We're talking with Dan Reach, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out more about what you can do to prevent colds and flus this year.